Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. My, the crowd is roaring. The people are shuffling. The crowd is bustling. And Jesus heard the cry of one beggar. It's what caused him to step down out of the glory world to a world of beggars. And he brought unto him, and he commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come nigh, he asked, saying, "What wilt thou have I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." He didn't ask for $100, did he? He said, "Lord, the most important thing right now is if I could just see." Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee." Verse 37, Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. But God, the ability is totally in your hands this morning. So Father, we pray you'll move as a well-oiled machine with the touch of the Holy Ghost upon this. In Jesus' name and for only His glory. Amen.
Amen.
I noticed that little phrase, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." There's something about meeting important people, isn't it? There's just something about it. I know some of y'all are so spiritual, you don't have to do that. But you know, you just like to be identified with people that know a lot of people or that's well known.
Yeah, come on.
I'm all over this country, and they always ask me when they find out I'm from Louisiana. The first thing most of them ask me, "Do you know the Duck Dynasty boys?" And then they find out where I'm really from, down in that swamp, and they say, "Do you know them alligator hunters? Troy Landry and all that bunch?" I said, "Let me tell you something. When I was coming up, they were so trashy, my daddy said, don't let anybody know you know them people." And now, the world knows about them. One little boy in Virginia came because he heard I was from alligator country just to hear a story about an alligator in Virginia. But it's something about knowing popular people and being identified. And some of us, which don't bother me, but I want you to know that I was invited to eat breakfast with the president. Just dropping them words and hints around, amen, names around. But there's something about that name and popularity. I know one soldier told me one time, he said, "Well, Lord, I was 3 foot from him." And I said, "What?" He said, "From General MacArthur." I said, "I was standing at a salute and attention when he came by." Well, he was so proud of that because he was somebody that was world known. But I like to say this morning that there's never been one who has influenced the world like Jesus of Nazareth. What if he had not come? What a mess this would be. And so I got to looking in here. No one has ever changed the course of history like Jesus of Nazareth. I was reminded that the B.C. and the A.D. That we date everything, even the dating of time, is marked by the birth of Christ. In atheistic, heathenistic Russia, when they declared their constitution and that they were a state, signed it A.D. That means in the year of our Lord. We don't believe him. We don't believe he even exists. But we're going to sign it in the year of our Lord. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so never has there been such an influence. And I could keep going on and on. But this morning, there's three little things I want to cover right quickly. Number one, no person that ever accepted him remained the same once Jesus passed by. Now, I sat in religious services time after time after time as a boy. I'm telling you, I've heard so many long, drawn-out, dry, dead messages. I sit on them old pews, them old slack pews, and turn, and it cricketed. The only people that shouted in that church was those who got peached. Amen. I mean, that's the only stirring we had. I mean, when you went to the church, you just, the preacher coming here, you went to seminary and everything. Of course, when a person goes to seminary, that's all they can talk about a lot of times. Seminary. Man, I can't even spell that word. But he would belch out words that long. A bunch of dumb Cajuns from the Bayou country. And he's going to impress us with big words. I said, uh-huh. And I said, God, when I got saved at 19, I said, God, you can kill me. I don't even care. But I do not want to be a boring preacher. And if some of y'all just get to looking bored, I'm dismissing. We're going home. No person that ever accepted him. I signed blind Bartimaeus coming. Oh, he cannot see. Isn't it amazing? He's a perfect type of a sinner. That you and I, though we've sat and sat and sat on dead church services, but one day Jesus passed by. Woo! And like never before, I saw God like I'd seen Him never before. I seen Christ like I'd never seen Him before. And I saw me like I had never seen me before. You can't teach this to the world. You can't understand the philosophy of Christianity that an eternal God, perfect in His humanity and perfect in His deity, would come toward man, sinful man, lost and without God, blinded by sin, and could not go to God, but God came to where He was.
Amen, brother.
Wow. You talk about humbling. When I hear professing Christians stand up and boast about things, I say, I wonder, have they ever met Jesus of Nazareth? Have they ever understood how lost they were? Have they ever understood how blind they were? And what He had to do to rescue us from a devil's hell. It's pretty humbling. When you realize, some people say, well, preacher, I'm trying. The problem is that no matter what you produce in trying, He won't accept it. For our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. God puts man in an impossible situation. He gives him a law, 10 commandments, that he cannot keep. You said, man, how dumb. Well, God had a plan. Because God wanted us to come up to that law and look at that law and understand God's standard of righteousness. And we would back off from that law and say, there's no hope for me. Well, I've kept the first one, and I've kept the second one. And then James comes along and has to ruin it all and says, if you break one of them, you're guilty of the whole thing. Well, Lord, have mercy. There's no hope for us. What it will do, it is our schoolmaster. It taught us how sinful, how helpless, how blind we were, so that we would turn from outside of ourselves to a Savior who could save us. It was not the righteousness that was established by keeping the law, which is self-righteousness, which produces pride.
Boy, our churches are filled with proud people. Why? Because they've never experienced how lost they really are and how God is and what He had to do to save them from their sins. Oh, you can sit in a dead church all you want to. But if Jesus ever passes by, it's going to be a different story. Adam and Eve thought, like most mankind, that they were naked and they were ashamed, and they did not want to have to face God in their nakedness and in their shame. So they began sewing their fig leaves together to create a covering for themselves so they could face a holy God. And I found out that them fig leaves didn't help. Because even after they dressed up in the fig leaves, the Bible said they ran and hid. Had the fig leaves been sufficient, they wouldn't have had to run and hide. They said, we're going to do a double take here. We're not only going to sew our religion together and cover ourselves, we're going to get even further back. Man was not running toward God. Man was headed in the opposite direction. And then God came. And I'm here to tell you there wouldn't be one of us be saved this morning had not God come. Had not Jesus of Nazareth passed by, you and I would be headed to hell with no help and no hope. And so every person that accepted Him remained the same. Could not remain the same. Never remained the same. The other thing about Zacchaeus. Old Zacchaeus, I'm always picking at people that are a little bit shorter than me. I know y'all see the world from a different perspective. Amen. I'm 6'6", and I said, listen, I didn't ask for this, but I'm always having to look down on people. Sinned and fallen short. Zacchaeus couldn't see the Lord. The crowd was in his way. Boy, I see in my life, there was a crowd of sin and dead religion all around me. And I couldn't see the Savior until I made it to a tree. And I said, let me get up in this tree where I can see. Climbed that tree, saw the Lord. Here's a man who is eat up with greed and pride and covetousness. Sure. Tax collector. Whoa. He was that way until Jesus of Nazareth passed by. He come by that tree and said, Zacchaeus, come on down here. I've been up on your level now. I'm going to put you up on mine. Come on to my house. I want to go to your house. And his response immediately changed and his attitude changed. No person that ever accepted him remained the same. Mary Magdalene, seven devils. Wicked. I mean, God just uses some of the worst of us, don't He? To magnify how far down He reached in the power of His blood to cleanse sinners from their sins. I don't care where you've been, how far down you've gotten. Ain't nobody ever got too low for God. Never. Oh, Brother Allen, that song, he reached way down below the bottom. For me that day. Below the bottom. Now, I've been on the bottom of a lot of these bayous in Louisiana. My P-roll turned over and I was on the bottom. But I never have got low enough that He could not lift me up. No person that ever accepted Him remained the same. The demoniac of Gadara. I think about, oh my soul. This man was a mental case. And now the demons were in such control of this man's body. He had supernatural power, so man tries his methods of chaining him. But he broke the chains because the power of Satan is greater than the philosophies of men. And it takes a God with all power to defeat a Satan that has power. Boy, that night I can see him. He's running the tombs. They've tried to tame him. He's a wild man. His hair is probably hanging way down. It is. And that night a storm may have come. And he's drenched from the rain. And he's screaming. He's howling underneath the moon. And about daylight, he looks across the lake.
Look out now.
And here comes a little boat. Little did he know that his deliverance that he had craved was fixing to slip upon him in a little boat. I call it the boat of hope. Jesus got there, cast the demons totally out of the man. He was clean and in his right mind, and he was cold, and he was sitting. Never had peace before. Never had any rest. But when Jesus passed by. Hallelujah. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Right quickly. Let me hear you say this right quickly. No person that ever accepted Him remained the same. But notice this. No place that ever inhabited Him remained the same. No place. Well, you say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, every year, people will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I'd like to go myself, to visit the Holy Land. And it's a wonderful place. I've never been there, but I'd like to go. But they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to get where Jesus was. I'm like that little black boy trying to quote that Easter poem, and he got up and he got so confused that he was supposed to say, He's not here, He is risen. And he jumped up and said, He ain't here, He done left out. Well, when you get over there to Jerusalem, He ain't there, He done left out. Jesus of Nazareth passed by. What a world. What a world this has been since He passed by. No place that ever inhabited Him. Bethlehem means the house of bread. It was where the showbread was made. The apostles, the prophets prophesied about it. The angels proclaimed it. Wise men pursued it. This place called Bethlehem. Little did we know that David was anointed king there. Rachel was buried there. Ruth gleaned in Boaz's field there. You can ask anybody about Bethlehem. But every Sunday school kid knows what happened there. Jesus was born. Oh, I love that philosophy that God uses. For He's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. It just don't make no sense. When you hook up with God, you're going to be scratching your head till you get to heaven, I'm telling you. Nazareth, He grew up here. The temple He visited there. The same. After exposure of the truth, it could never be the same.
The Jordan River. He was baptized there. The Sea of Galilee. He walked there. Go try that. Gethsemane. He prayed there. Calvary. He died there. No place that ever inhabited Jesus of Nazareth has been the same since Jesus passed by. Oh, let me go on to say right quickly, and the last point is this, that no person that ever rejected Him ever remained the same when Jesus passed by. The rich young ruler, his expectations and his hopes of things and material things in this life have been met many times. But when Jesus passed by, I think he discovered a need that had never been met. And he said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus, knowing where his heart and affections were, said to him, go, because he was rich, go and sell all that you have and come and follow me. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful. No one that's ever rejected Christ could remain the same once Jesus has passed by. As I said before, you can sit in cold, dead religion, never be bothered. But if Jesus of Nazareth ever passes by, you'll never be the same. More than 1,900 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the laws of nature. This man lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. He did not travel extensively. Only once did he cross the boundary of the country in which he lived. He possessed neither wealth nor influence. His relatives were inconspicuous. He had neither training nor formal education. In infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature and walked upon the billows as it was pavement and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charge for his service. What a man. He never wrote a book. Yet all the libraries of the world could not hold the books that had been written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he has furnished the theme of more songs than in all the songwriters combined. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of having as many students as he has. He never marshaled an army, nor drafted a soldier, nor fired a gun. And yet no leader ever had more volunteers who have, under his orders, made more rebels stack arms and surrender without firing a shot. That's Jesus of Nazareth. He's passed by this world, and it's a different place. He never practiced psychiatry, and yet he healed more broken hearts than all the doctors far and near. Once each week, the wheels of commerce of this world ceased to turn, and multitudes wind their way around to worshiping assemblies to pay homage to him. The names of the past proud statesmen of Greece and Rome have come and gone. The names of past scientists, philosophers, and theologians have come and gone. But the name of this man abounds more and more. Though time has spread 1,900 years since our time and his crucifixion, yet he still lives on. Herod could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. He stands forth upon the highest pinnacle of heaven's glory, proclaimed by God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, and feared by devils, as the living personal Christ, Jesus
of Nazareth has passed by. The question this morning is, what will you do then with Jesus? That's the question this morning. But one day the question will change. And it will be, what will Jesus do with me? But this morning, that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. The sweet Holy Spirit has been here. And the singing from the very first song, the sweet Spirit of God has been calling. Whatever the need is in your heart, He's zeroed in on it. And He wants you to find a place in Him. And find that Christ can save you from your sins. Christ can heal you. Christ can deliver you from any obsession. There's no sin that He cannot break the powers of canceled sin in your life. Jesus. What's going on? What's all this noise? Telling that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. There's no other name above that name. Let's stand.